All passengers flying with Global Air Force are now boarding at Gate 1.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
Today on our program, we have a guest speaker, teacher, Graham Cook. Graham has originally come from Southampton, England, but he is a noted conference speaker, teacher, and author. He's authored many books. He's the founder of Brilliant Bookhouse. So, in the second part of our series, we are teaching that God is serious about your development, your purpose, and His plan for your life. And here he is as we jump right into the middle of his conference, Graham Cook.
We used to go for months without any money. It was great fun. But I never put gas in the car for like 5 months because we never had any money. But, you know, we didn't need it, so that was cool. So I'd be driving the kids to school and, you know, and the car would start to act up and I'd turn around and say, who's not speaking in tongues back there? And three kids would go, shalabaranda balabarun. And the car would pick up. It is the most, it is the safest place and the funnest place to be is in the affections of God. Here's the thing, we're all children of God learning to be sons of God. Prophecy is in line with that process. What the Holy Spirit is looking for from you, He's looking for the same focused intentionality towards God that God has towards you. You know, God takes you really seriously. Okay, I went down like a rat sandwich. That's funny. God takes you really seriously. That's why He's always encouraging us into certainty. So He says stuff like, ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Guarantee. Seek and keep on seeking and you're going to find, I'll make sure. Guarantee. Knock and keep on knocking and it's going to be open to you. What's He doing? He's teaching us about persistence. He's teaching us joyful persistence. To keep coming joyfully. It's not a pain to us to keep asking for the same thing. It's a joy. It's a pleasure. When God gives you a promise or a prophecy, He is opening you up to confident living. Confidence is conviction. There is, for me, a divine inevitability about areas of my life because God cannot lie. So when you have a promise, when you've got a prophecy, it's like money in the bank. There is a divine inevitability. Really, we need to rush to cooperate. And as I become what the Lord requires, the promise has to be fulfilled. He loves that whole process. He loves to engage with you. You know, God loves the clash between the flesh and the spirit. Why? Because He loves being your deliverer. He's not afraid of anything. He's not worried about anything. And God is not disillusioned with you because He never had any illusions in the first place. He knows exactly what you're like. He knows exactly what button to press. He knows exactly right now the obedience that you actually need to start generating. That's why He keeps touching that same area. That's why you go around in circles, you come back to the same point. Why? Because He loves you too much to let you get away with stuff. Prophecy is relational. And the promise of God is tied to the person that you're becoming. It's tied to your identity. It's not tied to your behavior. It's tied to your identity. So when you step into that place, when you step into your own I am, I remember, I don't know, 100 years ago, it seems, when my mentor, who was mentored himself by Smith Wigglesworth, never let me forget it. He used to say to me, "Graham, God may wink at things, but the brethren don't let you get away with nothing." And that was absolutely true of him. He's the fiercest. I think he was more fierce than God. But he was my mentor for 5 years. And there were so many times I wanted to shoot him and FedEx him to Jesus. But he always dodged the bullet. And he used to, I remember him saying to me, "Isn't it about time that you admitted that you're a prophet?" I said, "Well, I think I've still got some growing up to do." And he looks at me and says, "Trust me. If you don't make a confession soon, you ain't never going to grow up. Because there comes a point when your development has to be public. Your ownership of your gift and your ministry, it has to become public. And I'm having an easy life just having a prophetic ministry." So he's honoring me. You've got to confess who you are. You've got to go to the next level of I am. Because as he is, so are you. Jesus always told his I ams. So you need to do it as well. And so I remember I did an event about 400 miles from home. And I stood up in this prophetic conference and I just said, "I just want you all to know that I am a prophet." Everyone's going, "Yay." None of them know me. I get back to my room, and as soon as I go through the door, the phone starts ringing, and it's him. And he said to me, first thing he says is not, "Hey, how's it going?" Is that doesn't count. I said, "What?" He said, "You coward, that doesn't count." I said, "What doesn't count?" He said, "You mouthing off in front of a bunch of strangers that you're a prophet. It don't count." I said, "Who told you?" He said, "Who do you think?" I said, dude, this is cheating. He said, "Well, if you're going to be stupid, I'm going to cheat." Anyway, it doesn't count. Puts the phone down. I loved him. And I wanted to kill him in equal measure. And so the next time I'm at home, you know, doing an event in my home, all my friends, everyone from my church, I stood up and I said, "I just want you all to know that I'm a prophet." And the whole room went really quiet, just like it did then. Having a flashback right there. It went real quiet, then the laughing started. Get back to my house, walk through the door, the phone's ringing, it's him. He said, "How'd you like the persecution?" Thinking, "I'll persecute you, you little rat." This is your inheritance, this is your heritage. And your entry point into all of that are the promises and the prophecies that God has given you. That you learn how to step into those words and you learn how to make them your own, because prophecy gives you a voice. And that voice has three parts to it. Prophecy becomes our heavenly language as we learn to stand before God. It gives you the voice of proclamation. It gives you the voice where you make your own I am statement. So me standing up in my hometown church saying, "I am a prophet," something is set into the atmosphere. And it doesn't matter what the response is. Because people don't know how to respond to confident Christians. You don't know how to respond to people of certainty. We're uncomfortable by it. So it's not going to be a pleasant experience. But it's not about that. It's about obedience. You have a voice in heaven. Prophecy is your starting point for a conversation with God. You have to proclaim who He is for you. You have to proclaim who you are in Him. You have to receive that identity, you have to embrace it, and then you have to steward it through all your circumstances, because every situation is about training. You have to announce it officially. You have to almost make a decree. Speak it out loud. Your mind needs to hear you saying it. A time is coming, and now is. Our role is the now is. Yeah? You have a present future relationship with God. That's why it's so important. If you look at the journey of Israel from Egypt to Canaan, three things were happening. First thing is they had to get closure on their past. You can't afford to have any present past distinctions going on in your life. You have to get closure on the past. Otherwise, your future is going to be limited. So, closure on the past. Then we need to be converted. That's what the wilderness is all about. The wilderness is a place where God takes you when He's happy with you. Wilderness is not a punishment. It's a place of development, for sure. But the wilderness is a place God takes you when He's happy with you. So at the baptism of Jesus, heaven opens, the Holy Spirit descends in bodily form, and a voice is heard saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." What's the next thing that happened? He's led into the wilderness. Hosea 2:14-15 said that God captures our heart, captivates our heart, and leads us into the wilderness so that He can speak kindly to us and give us our vineyards from there and the Valley of Achor as a door of hope. In the wilderness, there's a conversion process going on because there's a rabble of slaves come out of Egypt, but a disciplined army has to cross the Jordan into Canaan. And so the wilderness is about your conversion process. It's that series of steps between prophecy spoken and prophecy fulfilled. And when you've got a prophetic word, you need to make sure that the door on your past is closed. And if there's anything outstanding, that you deal with it before we get into being aligned with this promise. Otherwise, what's happening, what's coming from that door, if that door is open to your past, something's going to come through and rob you in the present. You must get closure. You've got to get closure. And then you have to say yes to the conversion process. God has to make you into. So the whole conversion process is, when God speaks to you about who you are and your identity, then you have to take on board that identity. And so your question is, what kind of person do I need to become to see this word fulfilled? And you take responsibility for the identity and you enter into the conversion process so that every situation between word spoken and word fulfilled, every situation is designed to enable you to become the person that God saw when He gave you the prophecy. So we're learning how to partner with Him. So we're going from closure, we're going through conversion to become that person. And when we become that person, there is a commissioning that empowers us to take the territory that God has set aside for us. So often, we're trying to move into territory and we haven't got closure and we haven't been converted to our own identity. So you can't fulfill the assignment. We get to become in the present the relationship that guarantees the future. So my question here is, what is the relational shift that's going on in your life with God? What's taking place in your heart right now? Some of you are learning how to be a much loved child. Some of you are learning how to be a beloved son. Some of you are learning to be the friend of God. Others are learning to be the bride. Some are learning to be a man after God's own heart. You get the picture. What is the relational dynamic that God is releasing into your life right now? About 20, 25 years ago, I'm on tour in Germany, and I'm learning at a deeper level how to be a much loved child. Thing is, if you don't know how to become a much loved child, you're going to struggle to become a fully mature son. Because the spirit of adoption takes us from being children to being sons. And it's not that you are in one relationship and you outgrow it into another, because everything in the spirit is a paradox. A paradox is two apparently conflicting ideas contained in the same truth. So you have to give to receive, paradox. Everything is paradoxical. You have to give to receive, you have to be last to be first. A church is a building and it's a body. Can't get more paradoxical than that. The apostolic is about agriculture and construction. You are God's field, God's building. Everything is a paradox for us. So you're learning how to be a much loved child, and you're also learning how to be a fully mature son, and you have two relationships with God going on. So I'm learning, when you're really stepping into being a much loved son, you have to also strengthen the much loved child in you. So I'm in Germany, and I'm facing, the whole tour has been just one battle after another. And I'm tired. And I'm weary. And honestly, a part of me is thinking, so Graham, what's wrong with you that you're tired and weary? Because here's the thing for me, this is where, as my friend Bill would say, this is where the wobber hits the woad. So I'm learning, right? I'm learning that my questions are, why am I tired and weary? Why am I not energized? You know, because for me, the issue has to be that if Jesus Christ is Lord, then there is something in his lordship that has to contain utmost majesty for me. So I want to know about the power of the one with the one. I want to walk and not be weary. I want to be like God. I want to run and not faint. I want some of those characteristics. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to go into this whole battle thing in my own strength, in my own guise. I want something more from the Lord. I've got promises. And I'm realizing that there's something deficient in my identity, because this tour is a difficult tour, and I really don't, I've achieved most of the objectives, but I don't feel that I've done terribly well. And so I'm thinking, okay, so my last night, I'm in a place called König Wusterhausen, which is the King's Winter Palace. And I'm finished the last meeting, and I'm tired. I just want to get on a plane. And I want to get home to my meditation room, because I want to process what happened and what didn't happen. I want to have a dialogue with the Father, and I need to know what I missed. And so I'm packing away some books, and something hits me on the arm, really hard. So I'm like, oh, wow, what was that? I look around, and I can't see anything. So I'm thinking, I hope I'm not getting beaten up by the enemy here, because I'm in this kind of mindset, you know? And so I'm packing away books, bang on the arm. I turn around, I look down, there's this elderly lady. She must have been about 3'12". She's bent over, she's on a Zimmer frame. You know, she looks like a hobbit. She's a mass of wrinkles. She's like a little bulldog, only not particularly friendly. And she looks like Wrinkle City, Arizona. And I look down at her, and she looks up at me, and she says, "I have been following you." I'm thinking, do I bind this thing or what?
I have been following you. I have been following you in the spirit. And I have come to you with the word of the Lord. You will listen.
All righty.
She said, all your life you will be the much-loved child. And you will defeat the enemy as the much-loved child. You are like the little boy with the short trousers and a saucepan on your head with the handle turned to the back. And in your hand you have the wooden spoon. And you are chasing the enemy down the street and he is running from you. And she belts me on the arm. All your life you are the much-loved child and you will defeat the enemy. So, belts me again. I had bruises for a week. And she just walks off. That's it. Well, I turned around and my friend said, what was that? I turned back and she's nowhere. I find that flipping angel. I'm going to give him some fivefold ministry. We're around the throne. Everyone's worshiping. I'm going to be looking for that little varmint. And so, you know, the wonderful thing was, you know, I was talking to the Lord about it late that night. And he said, I said, so who was that? He said, oh, you'll meet them later. He said, you know, son, I couldn't wait for you to get home. I want to start processing with you right now. You know, that here you are, you've been moving towards being a mature son and you've left behind the much loved child and you shouldn't. You're still going to need him. You know? So we just stayed up all night talking. And that's when I really began to understand, you know, that it's a paradox. It's both and. And so on every new level, you meet a new devil. Right? So you have to beat the devil on the level that you're on. Yeah? So when you get into that new level, it's like the devil against you on this level has to be bigger than you and has to be stronger than you. And so when you get onto that new level, you get onto that new level as a much loved child. Yeah. So there was something childlike, but not specifically sweet about Caleb. He had this childlike sense of God is with us. They will be our prey. This is going to be cool. He was like going around saying, have you seen the giants? Brilliant. They're huge. And he's like looking at them thinking, OMG. If that's what's against us, what is it that God wants to give us on this level? He has this childlike attitude about the whole thing because he's just living in the majesty of God and loving it. And here's the thing, when you get a giant against you, you're going to get wrong messages. The enemy's going to come and say, see that giant? He's bigger than you. He's stronger than you. You can't take him. You're not good enough. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough. You're not tough enough. In fact, really speaking, compared to him, you're like a grasshopper. You're going to get a mixed message. But the Holy Spirit is going to come and say, see that giant? By the time we're finished on this level, you're going to be his size and he's going to be your present size. Y'all are going to switch around. Yeah? So you learn on this new level, you learn to be a much loved child. So you learn how to stand. Then you learn how to walk. And you learn how to press in. Yeah? You learn how to receive under pressure. So when the enemy brings pressure to bear, so do you. Huh? So you learn how to walk. You learn how to press in. And the more forceful you are in the kingdom,
the more the enemy has to give ground to you, and the more he gives ground, what happens is you start growing, he starts diminishing. So by the time you get to the end of this level, he's small enough that when he bows the knee, you can stand on him and get into the next level where the whole process begins all over again. And you learn to be the much loved child on that level. And that's how you learn how to rise up through the heights that God has set aside for you. Vision is not just about, it's not on a one-dimensional plane. Vision is not just about the direction you're going in, it's about the height at which you're expected to travel. If we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, height is important. Coming up levels is important. And in your ministry, you're not just going to be releasing things on a one-dimensional plane. You're also going to be calling people up to something. This is what I've learned. I've learned that he is the kindest person I have ever known. I have not had a day in more than 2 decades. I have not had a single day when God has not said something or done something that's kind in my life. And then he started teaching me about rest and peace. And all I know is that the Prince of Peace came in and never left. And I began to learn rest and peace. And it was at that time that I lost the ability to be worried. I can't remember the last time I was anxious. There's too much majesty going on. See, when you come into fullness, you come into the fullness of who God wants to be for you, but you won't come into that fullness unless you take his nature and his character seriously and you develop the lifestyle. He's making you like him. That means there is an inordinate amount of peace out there that enables you to be so peaceful you lose the ability to be anxious. That's what it means.
Wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Would you like to be part of this ministry, this radio ministry, and share these type of messages? I don't think these messages are heard anywhere else on secular radio, where we reach a new audience. So be a part. Thank you.
You've learned the blessed truth of Christian.